Self-care is a term that is thrown around a lot, and there are a lot of companies that will sell you things that will tell you that they are self-care. And there's a wellness barrage, a tsunami of potential things that you could do for self-care. I'm not talking about anything that you need to go and buy. These are simple, gentle, and peaceful practices that nourish a sense of deep well-being. I'm going to use the model of the koshas. The koshas are the sheaths of the body. And if you've studied with me for the yoga teacher training, we probably went over these. And I'm going to use this as a model of self-care. I'll do a separate podcast specifically on the koshas and go into them a little bit deeper. But I think that this is a really nice model of how to care for yourself. And it gives you a easy overview on check-in during the morning, as well as partway through the day and then in the evening. So first establishing that the ground, the soil of this tree of well-being. Oh, that's nice. The tree of well-being. So first establishing the soil, the nourishing soil for the tree of well-being. And the first one is self-worth, that you are worthy of caring for yourself. This is the key to practicing these on a continual basis and making them a part of your life. Because if you don't feel that you are worthy of self-care, then it's much more likely that you won't make time for these as essential, non-negotiables parts. Last podcast I did on boundaries was a lot about setting up boundaries in your life, and your self-care is part of what you are setting up boundaries around, that you are making time and prioritizing your self-care. That does not mean that you need to have 100% self-worth and feel great about yourself all of the time in order to practice self-care. Sometimes it happens the other way around. Sometimes I have very low self-worth, and practicing self-care reminds me that I am worthy of caring for myself. And in fact, it's not just worthy, it's that it is the very best thing that I can do for myself as well as the people in my life who love me. Recently, at the Clarity Retreat that I co-hosted in Mount Shasta, we collectively shared a sentence stem, which is just a way of starting a sentence, and then filled in the blank. And I encourage you to try this. You can take out a journal or you can think about it right now. The more I take care of myself, the more I, and then fill in the blank. The more I take care of myself, the more I feel healthy and rested. The more I take care of myself, the more present I am and can notice things around me. The more I take care of myself, the more I don't need to buy so much, and I am at peace and at ease with simple things in life. The more I take care of myself, the more I, and then fill in the blank. And one thing that I realized, just on a little bit of a side note, and maybe we'll let me know if this resonates for you at all. The more I take care of myself, this is not always true, but sometimes I disappoint people. That caring for myself and putting that as my number one priority means that at times people are going to be disappointed, because in the past I've been a big people pleaser and have given my time and energy first to everyone else and then lastly to myself. And I'm sure that many of you can relate to that we are raised to be caregivers and a listening ear and help other people out and be nice, and we put ourselves last. And so this is a nudge that even if it feels uncomfortable and even if people are disappointed, it's still really important. It's absolutely necessary. It's your sacred responsibility to care for yourself. And it is the best thing that we can do for the people who love us in our lives. If you think about somebody who has not taken care of their body and their body starts to break down, they become a burden on the people around them, or they become an extra care for the people around them. If people don't take care of their mental health, they can become a burden and a stress on the people around them. And that's not to say that we don't need to be there for the people in our lives when they are sick, when they are ill, and when they really need our support. And it's also really important that you do your very best to care for the temple of your body and the peace and balance in your own mind, so that you can be the best version of yourself for you, because it feels great, and also for the people around you. Not so that you can show up for them, but just because it's important, because they love you and they care about you and they want the best for you. So that is the soil. The soil to plant this tree of well-being in is that you are 100% worthy of self-care, and that it is necessary, and it is your role and responsibility. For some reason, you were born into this body, and you get to take care of this body and this mind and this soul for your lifetime, for this incarnation. Lucky you. And you are the one who knows yourself best. A mantra that I have been using is, I know what's best for me, and I do what's best for me. And taking back that authority that we so often have given away to other people, or to fad diets or fad ways of exercising, to doctors, to teachers, to partners, to family, to anybody else, you are the one that is in your body. You are the only one that can feel it. This is why in my yoga classes, I say that the one wild rule is to listen to your body. And to nourish that relationship, especially if you have a history of leaving your body, disassociating, and not living the process of embodiment, of coming back into your body and listening to your body. It can take time, and it can also be scary, because you can think, I don't know what's best for me. And so resourcing in the best way that you can, and then following the deep inner knowings of it's best to nourish your body and to sleep deeply and to care for yourself. The first kosha part of the tree, we'll call this the roots. The first kosha, the anamaya kosha, is the physical body. So the first part of your self-care practices are around the physical well-being. And the anamaya kosha means the food body. So this is taking care of your nutrition and your nourishment. It sounds so simple, but it is so tricky, because it is something that we have so much information, but not a lot of wisdom around. There are so many conflicting theories and ideas, and people get so polarized in different camps of paleo versus vegan versus all of the different types of diets. And I have gone down the rabbit hole of following all of these different diets, and it just confuses the mind and the body and the trust that I have with knowing what is healthful. I'm reading a book called Outlive by Peter Attia, and I think that he is very scientific and pretty pragmatic in the way that he talks about diet. If you would like to get some more information, I'll put the link in the show notes to the book. I think that there's some good information. But on a basic level, when you're thinking about self-care and nourishing your body, simple, whole foods, and not being fearful around food, nourishing your body well, getting a balance of protein and fat and carbohydrates. And I'm not a nutritionalist, so I'm not going to go into giving you any sort of dieting advice or what you should be putting in your body, but nourish your body, drink water, get enough sleep. These are basic foundational practices of self-care. And they also include hygiene and taking care of yourself, movement, and moving the body in ways that balance strength and flexibility and stamina and cardiovascular health in a way that is nourishing, sustainable, and enjoyable, pleasurable. Because stress is not helpful for the physical body. So adding stress, we have plenty of stress in the world. So adding a mental or physical stress to the body is not self-care. So though that is the first pillar or the root, the foundation of self-care, which is the Anamaya Kosha, the physical body, taking care of your physical body. And one more thing to say about this, well, your environment matters. That where you are and taking a lot of time, as much as you can, to be in nature. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you need to go camping or go on a really long hike or be completely away. If you live in a city, getting the nature that you can get. So if it's a local park or if you live next to any body of water, and looking at the sky, looking at the trees, getting into nature, your environment matters. The second, and the trunk of the tree, is what we'll call in the tree of well-being. It's sort of the trunk. And this is the Pranamaya Kosha, the energy body, the chi body. You can feel the energy body in the way that the breath is going in and out of your body and the way the blood circulates the energy body. And this is nourished and cared for by breathing practices. And I've been absolutely adoring Othership. It's a great app. It has guided breath practices. There's lots more breath practices that are coming out. And you want to do breathing practices that feel right for you and are aligned with the time of the day. So doing more upregulated breathing and things in the morning that are aligning with your natural cycles of cortisol spikes in the morning, and then in the evening doing more relaxing and restorative breathing practices to wind you down and induce relaxation, soothing the nervous system and activating the parasympathetic nervous system so that you're a lot more calm and ready for a nice deep sleep. Singing is also a wonderful practice for the Pranamaya Kosha, for the energy body. Movement that is specifically about attuning to the subtle bodies and these subtler energies, Kundalini yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga. And again, for many of these things, being in nature, walking barefoot, being without a phone, swimming, moving with the trees, walking with the trees, laying on the ground. These are all wonderful practices for the Pranamaya Kosha. And of course, these are going to overlap. So it's not like your physical body and your energetic body are completely separate and they won't have overlap. One will make the health of the other better. There's no way that we could have the breath without the body or the body without the breath. And it also ties into the Manomaya Kosha, or the mental and emotional body. And this includes the five senses. So caring, you can think about caring for your five senses, smelling things that are really calming, delightful, pleasurable. There's a plumeria plant right outside our front door, and I stop and smell the plumeria every single time I'm on the way to the car or the way to the beach and then on my way back. Stop and smell beautiful flowers. Stop and smell the roses. listening to things that are soothing and calming and bring you joy, music, looking at things that are beautiful. Nature gazing is my favorite thing to do, watching the sunset, the sunrise, watching the clouds. I love stargazing. Tasting things that are delicious and caring for the sense of taste. And touching things that are soft, that are interesting, that are soothing, that all of your senses can be cared for and well nourished. It again activates the parasympathetic nervous system and gives your body the knowing that it is safe and that it's okay to feel joy and pleasure. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money to do these things. Most of these things can be inexpensive or free. And caring for your emotional well-being and your thoughts. Mental health is really important. Your thoughts and your emotions are connected. Meditation, mindfulness meditation, and you can go back and listen to the podcast on mindfulness. Being aware of the tracks that you're making in your mind and the ones that you want to continue and the ones that you want to adjust. And breathing practices can help get you into a state where the default mode network, the usual way that the tracks are running in your mind, have a quieting and you can create new neural pathways. So combining breathing practices with meditation and journaling and processing, process journaling specifically so that you are aware of what you are thinking and how you are feeling and why you're thinking and feeling that way and allowing yourself to be really honest, because most of the time the mental stuckness comes from keeping it inside. And so journaling is a great way to get it out of you. And then you can see that it's not you. And you're not confused, you're not fused with those mental and emotional states. And feeling your feelings fully, allowing your feelings to be fully felt, and doing your best not to feed the feeling story that keeps it going. A feeling fully felt will last at tops 90 seconds. You cannot stay angry for very long if you're not feeding yourself a story of why you are angry. This happened to me last night. We were in bed and my husband and I like to do a ritual right before bed to put us into a sweet sleep. And that is three gratitudes and an appreciation. We say three gratitudes of something we're grateful for from the day and then appreciation for the other person. And yesterday in particular, it was a pretty intense day. There's some things that are going on in my family and there's a lot that's been happening here on the island. And I was feeling emotional just being full and being present with all of the emotions that were there. And I felt a lot of gratitude for this beautiful place that we get to live, gratitude for the people that I get to teach, gratitude for the water that I get to swim in every single day, whether it's up in Iao or at McKenna. And so much gratitude was flowing through me. My heart was open. And I said, and I appreciate how much you love me. And I just burst into tears. And it was this deep upwelling of sadness. And I could tell the story of like, I feel sad because I blocked out my heart for so long from even allowing myself to feel that love. Or there are so many people who don't have that love and I feel so sad for them. Or any number of stories. But really all the feeling needed was to be felt. And I cried and I had him cuddle me and then we went to sleep. And it doesn't need to be fed by a story. So it's very brief. And if you have a meditation practice, continue deepening your understanding of meditation and mindfulness and everything that it can give you. And feel your feelings fully without trying to push them down or keep them going with unnecessary stories. The next is Vijnana Maya Kosha, and this, oh, the Mana Maya Kosha, I forgot, is the branches. Those are the branches, those are the reaching out, the mind and the emotions. And Vijnana Maya Kosha is the leaves and flowers of the tree. This is the wisdom body. The wisdom body is not only your knowledge, but your embodied knowing, your intuition that is not impulsivity. The difference is important to recognize within yourself. What is impulsive and wanting, seeking immediate gratification? And what is coming from a deeper, wiser place? And to feed and to care for your wise body, your wisdom body, meditation, again, is really great. Time in nature, because nature is a wise teacher. She teaches us to slow down and to be grateful and to feel our interconnectedness with all beings. And that really is what wisdom is recognizing that you are not a tiny little separate thing existing in a separate bubble. Everything you do has an impact, and you are supported and you are connected to the people that brought the food to your table, the people that built your house, your family, all of the humans that went before you to be able to make your life possible, and this interconnectedness. And reading things that are wisdom text and get you into the space of feeling that interconnectedness and connecting with divinity, with the natural life force energy that is pulsing through you, reconnecting with the part of you that is beyond current circumstances, or it's not a body, it's not the emotions, it's not the thoughts, it is deeper than that and more expansive than that. And nourishing it, it will wake up and recognize itself. Consciousness, wisdom will recognize itself through reading wisdom texts like the Tao, or poetry like Rumi, A Course in Miracles, any text that's going to bring you into that state. And I recommend wisdom texts that were written long before the internet, and to actually read physical books. And if you follow a particular spiritual practice, reminding yourself of the principles of that. So the yamas and the niyamas in yoga, reminding yourself of the factors of enlightenment. If you want to know more about either of those, I did one on the factors of enlightenment, a podcast on the factors of enlightenment. And there are a wealth of resources that you can draw on to learn more and to deepen your understanding on yoga, Buddhism, or any other spiritual practice that calls to you. Having a spiritual practice and making time for it is self-care, is wisdom care. For the Vijnana Maya Kosha. And the final is the fruits. It's Ananda Maya Kosha, and that is the bliss body. Self-care for the bliss body, enjoying life, allowing yourself to laugh fully. Laugh, 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 laugh. Find things that make you laugh, or just laugh for no reason and allow that laughter to fill you up. Sing. Daily practices that cultivate a sense of joy, of play, of creativity, of spontaneity. Allow yourselves time to swerve and not be on schedule. Tune into the space around you and find things that delight you. And really, it's about allowing yourself to feel the joy and the delight that's available in most moments. And it doesn't need to be buying something. Again, it can be dancing silly while you brush your teeth. It can be doing a cartwheel in the park and putting on a song and dancing with the people in your house. Connect with other human beings. Anandamaya Kosha and the connection between other human beings gives us that space to play, permission to play. So those are the sheaths of the body, the self-care model through the koshas. And I want to talk a little bit about aligning it with the season. And then I'm going to give you some ideas of how to practice it for this new moon. So right now in the fall equinox, we're moving into the time of fall in Northern Hemisphere. It's equal part daytime and nighttime, and it's going to be getting darker and darker in the Northern Hemisphere until the winter solstice. And this time of the year, this season, is about letting go, about aparigraha, releasing, and the fall is a death of what is ready to be let go of and composted and become fertilizer. And if we skip over these times of death, then we won't have the nourishment and the fuel when spring comes. We'll be burnt out. And this is very hard in a society that constantly wants us to be producing all of the time. It's really important that you align your self-care with the seasons and this time of release, of letting go. I feel that there are monumental shifts that are happening, and the best thing to do is to attune to and attend to the specifics in your life, being the change that you want to see, and caring for yourself and the people in your life, and living simply, that we need to redefine what success is and let go of old models of success that come from a lot of eyeballs on you or from a big bank account or continual growth. We have to let that go because it's killing us and it's killing our planet. And you're not going to be able to, none of us individually are going to be able to change really massive systems. But if we all choose to tend and love ourselves, then there's going to be a lot less need to buy and to participate in a society that just wants us to keep up an image or keep up other ways of false gratification. It's not even instant gratification, it's false gratification. This time for me is about the art of renunciation. How much can I let go of? And it's uncomfortable to let go of what the ego continually tells us is going to bring us satisfaction, and to find the sweetness in the simplicity of caring for my body, caring for the breath and the energy that circulates in this body, caring for the senses and the mental and emotional weather, the rise and fall, and giving myself space to feel it all without attaching, and nourishing the wisdom that is inside and all around, and feeling joyful as we surrender what no longer serves us and come into a state of receptivity this new moon, to soften, to slow down, and to return to a way within our bodies that is reciprocal and peaceful and in alignment with the cyclical nature of nature, the cyclical rhythms of nature. So for this new moon, I encourage you to take out a journal and to set an intention for each of these areas the physical body, the prana body, the emotional and mental body, the wisdom body, and the bliss body. And have these intentions be aligned with the season. That this is not a time to start huge grand projects that take up all of your energy and time and don't leave you any time to really care for yourself. That these intentions are ones of sustainable and nourishing and pleasurable self-care and self-love. Let me know how you enjoy this practice and if anything resonated with you. Thank you to everyone who's listening to this podcast. You're the only reason that I do it, and so it's a real gift. And I wanted to say a big thank you to the women who joined me at the Clarity, me and Joy, at the Clarity Retreat. Joy, Clarissa Taylor, and I, we did a couple of podcasts today together, hosted a retreat in Mount Shasta, and it was absolutely divine. And I'm really grateful for all of the connection that we had there on the mountain at the base of the beautiful Mount Shasta at the headwaters. And it was such a deeply nourishing time together. And I guess that's the final part of self-care, is connecting with others. Connect with your friends, your family. That being with people who love you and sharing in love in simple ways. It doesn't need to be extravagant, but call that person, reach out, do something more than just text, more than just like an Instagram post. Have some real human connection. It's always nourishing. All right, have a beautiful new moon and an absolutely delightful and restful and celebratory fall equinox. And I will see you very soon. Namaste.